For some of us, this music signals it's time to hang out the Do Not Disturb sign, to text your friends, "Do not call me," for the next hour. Victoria is on. Season 3 of the PBS Masterpiece series Victoria starts this Sunday, and we mean the royal we, of course, cannot wait. It features the young Queen Victoria of England, the second longest-sitting British monarch, whose very name came to define a prudish era, but whose story is one of passion, first for her mentor, the Prime Minister Lord M, then for her husband Albert, her German prince, and her first cousin, then for her people. But how much of it is true? Turns out, a lot. Daisy Goodwin is the creator, writer, and executive producer of Victoria. She's author of a novel titled Victoria, as well as a nonfiction book, Victoria and Albert, A Royal Love Affair. She joins us now. Daisy, welcome.
Hi there.
Oh, we have so many questions for you about the truth, but do we understand in our reading that Victoria had you at white britches? You were reading in a library at Cambridge University, reading her journals. What did you read?
I read an entry that she wrote in 1839 when she was about 20, and I was about the same age. And until that point, I'd always thought of Victoria as a grumpy old lady in black, a sort of sour puss in a bonnet, you know. And then here was this kind of diary of a kind of frisky adolescent, and a frisky teenager, and she's writing about Albert, to whom she's just got engaged, and she's obviously completely enamoured of him. And she writes about how they've gone out for a ride, and Albert's got very wet, and he's wearing these tight white cashmere breeches, nothing under them. It was just such an extraordinary thing to read in the journal of, you know, Queen Victoria, that I was immediately kind of arrested by it.
Well, and apparently she had a very active and fun sex life with Albert. I mean, they did have 9 children. But yes. This is so surprising, again, because of the era and also because of her own upbringing. I mean, somewhere I was reading that she couldn't even walk down the stairs without someone holding her hand. She was this precious child who had to sleep in her mother's room. She was overly protected.
She was very protected, but that didn't stop her being very interested in sex and men.
Let's get right to Lord M. Lord Melbourne, who was the prime minister, who was her mentor when she was 18 to 21. This powerful relationship. We understand some in Britain were annoyed at how you characterized it as almost a crush that she had on him.
Well, almost a crush, definitely a crush. I mean, I don't know why they objected to it. I suppose because they feel that queens can't behave like ordinary teenagers. But I felt very secure having read her diaries. She writes about nothing else for about 3 years until Albert comes along. Lord M is mentioned on every single page about 20 times. And she almost caused a constitutional crisis, because when Lord M loses a vote in Parliament, she refuses to let him go.
Well, we have a scene, Jenna Coleman playing Queen Victoria, of course, and Rufus Sewell playing Lord Melbourne. And this is, again, very early on. She is going to Lord M to declare her love. He's watching the rooks, the birds in the trees, thinking about his wife. And we should say, you've driven a lot of Americans who might not have thought about Lord Melbourne to read everything there is about him. And we find out that his wife had a very public affair with the romantic poet Lord Byron. It was a scandal. So that explains kind of his melancholy. And here you hear that in this scene.
Did you know that rooks mate for life? Every year they build their nests together. You renew all those little civilities that make a marriage sparkle. I think we could learn much from them. If I had to spend more time watching the rooks, my wife would have felt more attended to.
She should never have left you. I would never do such a thing.
No.
And I believe when you give your heart, it will be without hesitation. But you cannot give it to me.
Half of America was saying, I wouldn't have left you either, Rufus Sewell. I mean, Lord M. In that moment. So this is real. This is real history.
Yes. I mean, that particular moment was, I'm afraid, a figment of my imagination. Of course. But people used to call her Mrs. M. I'm not writing about something that people didn't gossip about at the time.
And then he dies. So we move on to the new series without him, but with Prince Albert. What is true about him? Because we know he comes from Germany. We know his family has a complicated background. But we find out at the end of the second season that he was the bastard child of Leopold, the man he thought was his father's brother. Let's listen. He confesses what he considers a shame to Victoria.
Leopold told me that he believes that he is my father.
Your mother and Uncle Leopold.
And he asked me not to tell anyone.
That's Tom Hughes there playing Prince Albert. What's true about his story?
Well, pretty much everything is true about his story. I mean, no one will ever really know whether Leopold was his father or not, but there is a great deal of circumstantial evidence, so it's not at all impossible. And there was a lot of gossip about it at the time. A lot of people thought that Albert was not the Duke's child.
Well, let's move on to the trip they make, the Queen and her husband, to Scotland shortly after they're engaged. They ride off together. Again, they're impulsive, they're young, they're in love. And get lost overnight. Let's listen.
Do you think we're lost? I don't remember any of this.
No.
And then they end up staying at some poor couple's house in the moors of Scotland. Did that really happen?
Not exactly like that, but they did get lost once. They were given tea and they weren't recognised, which they thought was hilarious. They probably didn't spend the night there, but they did have an experience like that. And I just wanted, for once, to show what it was like for them, you know, to lose the trappings of position.
We know that it is true that Queen Victoria was given an African child. She became godmother to an African princess who'd been captured at sea and enslaved and then released. Tell us more about that storyline.
Yes, she was the daughter of the Igbo tribe, and she had been sold into slavery by another African chieftain. But the slave ship was picked up by something called the West Africa Squadron, which was commanded by someone called Captain Forbes. And he took this child home and adopted her. And the only reason she was allowed to go free was that she was intended to be a present for Queen Victoria. And so he took her to Queen Victoria, and Queen Victoria said, well, I don't want a slave. I can't have a slave. I would never accept a slave, but I will take her on as my ward and my goddaughter. So she sort of unofficially took care of her. Sarah tragically died just under the age of 30, but Victoria, you know, looked after her, was very worried about her welfare all that time.
Talk about Queen Victoria as ruler, as someone who fought as a teenager and a young woman in her 20s to be heard, to balance her husband's feelings about being second fiddle. That was not easy. Talk about the power that she held and how she wielded it.
Well, she had a great deal more power than our queen today, and she was very happy to use it. And I think that she, when she came to the throne, she didn't know what she could do and what she couldn't do. And she was very lucky to have Lord Melbourne there to kind of guide her and to kind of make sure that she thought twice before she did anything. And the one thing he taught her was always delay your decision, always. Mm. That, you know, the worst decision is a hasty decision. And I think that was a very good lesson for Victoria, who was fantastically impulsive. So it was good to have someone telling her that. And then later she had Albert, who had a very strong sense of public duty. And so they do clash, and sometimes she's right and sometimes he's right.
Well, not only do they clash, they have fights that, you know, history have noted. She threw a glass of wine at him?
Yes, she did. Mm. And so often she is right. I mean, when you look at some of her diary entries, she's got a very shrewd grasp of what the people want. And that's why I think she was such an incredibly successful queen.
That's Daisy Goodwin, creator, writer, executive producer of the PBS series Victoria, author of the novel Victoria, as well as the nonfiction book Victoria and Albert, A Royal Love Affair, as we get set to sit down and watch season 3. Daisy, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, spoiler alert, and I know some of you are saying, too late, but when we look ahead to season 3, Daisy tells us we will meet Victoria's resentful sister, a Trump-like political figure, and while the real Albert died at 42, we do not lose him in season 3.